Scripture lesson comes from the book of Judges of Joshua, Joshua 24, verses 1 through 2, and then continuing at 14 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And our New Testament lesson from Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggles is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak." This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, would you please pray with me? Gracious, wondrous, and loving God, we come on this Lord's Day and we ask that you'll be with us, that you will guide us and keep us, that your word will light our path for the moments and days to come. We ask that as we study what you have commanded us to do, to put on the armor of God, may we do so. May we be prepared for the days to come. In your wondrous and blessed name, amen. Put on the armor of God. It's not exactly something you normally hear these days, since most of the time we don't walk around in armor. Well, We do kind of sometimes wear armor. We do wear our masks on occasion. But when you think of armor, you might think of body armor, but you're probably going to be drawn in the direction of an armored knight, right? That's traditionally what we think of. Maybe the knight standing in a hallway with the halberd just standing there. Or maybe we're thinking of like a medieval times sort of situation. Be what it may, that's the piece that we think of. But that's a military technology that Paul, when he writes the letter to the church in Ephesus, wouldn't have only had a glimmer in his eye. Armored knights on horseback? No. No. He gives us a hint at the end of this passage when he talks about being a prisoner in chains, what armor he's thinking of. He's thinking of the armor of a soldier of Rome. That's the armor he's unfortunately chained to right now, that he has to sit every day, day in and day out, and be watched over. He sees the Roman soldier with his armor, and that gives him the images that he writes about. So instead of a knight, think of that Roman soldier and remember that this is a common image. How many towns, cities had garrisons filled with Roman soldiers? And of course, remember, we use that term loosely when we describe the soldiers of Rome. We could use modern interpretations of this. We could possibly use a catcher's gear as put on the catcher's gear of God. It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Or the PPE of God doesn't roll off the tongue. But the armor of God, maybe because it's been an image used for a long time, it does roll. Now, many years ago, I had a chance to listen to someone basically use football equipment as those images. But the fact is, it is that flashy suit of armor, that common occurrence, that brings us to this moment. Nowadays, we could use more modern examples. Whatever it is you use to cut the lawn, you know, I got my hat on to protect me from the sun, my earmuffs, my work tunes so I can have my music and get the ear protection. I've got my glasses on. I've got my boots on. I've got all my right equipment to do it. So if you have the right equipment for the job, for most anything, you could use that as the example here. It's not wedded to armor because armor is less important here than certain aspects that Paul is talking about. You see, Paul says something twice. And when people repeat themselves in Scripture, it's often because of the importance of what they're saying. Put on the whole armor of God. He says that twice. Two times. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, if you're reading from the NIV, it probably says the full armor of God. The connotation is the same. Put on all your equipment. Don't put on part. You know, you wouldn't go into a football game with your helmet on the bench. They'd throw a flag. You wouldn't go roller skating or rollerblading with your knee pads, your elbow pads, but not your helmet, would you? Or without your rollerblades, right? The fact is, Paul wants us to understand that it is the entirety of the armor, not just part, all of it, the whole piece that is important here. Not just the individual parts as much as the parts put together in a whole. It is all the parts that make up that armor of God. It is all the pieces together that make it what it is. think of how silly it would look if you go to quilt and you didn't have your sewing machine, or you didn't have all your parts and pieces, you didn't have string. All of these work together to make things happen. But remember that Paul doesn't say that just the one time. He doesn't do it as a polite suggestion. He says it twice to emphasize the importance of the entire armor of God. To Paul, this is as important as taking heart medication. It's as important as life and death for the Christian. It's that completeness, that entirety of the armor of God that matters. Now, I'm sure many of you could point out a movie in which you've seen the hero striking with his sword and shield, getting his helmet knocked off. Well, that's so you can see him, so it's functional. But you can quote me chapter and verse of that moment where the hero is losing part of his armor and still able to defend himself. You know, he loses his sword and can still fight with his shield. The fact of the matter is, yeah, that can happen. That can happen. But when you're missing pieces of the whole, the other parts work ever harder to do that other job. The other pieces have to work more. Now, the items which Paul gives us as those pieces of armor, those pieces of the greater whole, are righteousness, truth, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and whatever you need to proclaim the gospel. All of these are the pieces that make up the equipment for the Christian, the pieces and parts of our lives that we need to have with us. Each one is as important as the next. None of them are more important. Paul often uses the image of the body of Christ and talks about how one part is not better than the other. Just so with the armor of God. The shield is not more important than the sword. The helmet is not more important than the breastplate. Just as the thumb in the body of Christ is not more important than the ear. To Paul, the entirety is what matters. All the pieces together. All of them work together in our lives. As we go about our days, as we live out God's calling, as we live out the gospel in our lives, these are the important elements. And yes, they are each important, but they are better together. There's this anecdotal story in military history about a king. And as he gets on in years, he calls his sons aside and he said, "I am close to death." I believe he supposedly lived on another 10 years, but that's another story. And he takes a quiver of arrows and sets them out before him. And he says, "When I die, you need to stand together." And the son says, "Oh yeah, Dad, oh yeah." Takes out the first arrow and says, "If you stand alone, you'll be like this." Snap. "If you stand alone, you'll be like this." Snap. And then he takes the rest of the arrows. And you be the judge whether it's a great example or just Dad getting on in years. And he takes that whole rest of the arrows and he sits and tries to break them. And they can't break. They won't break. And he says to his sons, "If you stand together, you'll be like these." That's the armor of God. When they are all together, all the pieces, all the parts together, working together in our faith, they are at their strongest. They are at their best. Can you have one missing? Sure. But again, remember, those other pieces and parts have to work all the harder. Now, all of these pieces are fairly familiar to us. Truth, knowing the truth of God, allows us to move with confidence in our lives that we are serving the risen Lord, that we are God's children. Others might stumble along their way searching and looking, but we have that comfort in knowledge that we are on God's way, the path that God has set for us. We can move with confidence. Righteousness is in the daily living of our Christian lives, knowing that what we are doing, what we are, how we are living, is the way God calls us to live. It is that peace that when people attack the people of God, what can we do? Can we argue with them? No. Our argument is how a Christian lives, how a Christian works. The next is probably my favorite because it's so amorphous and individualized for each one of us. It's the sandals that we wear that could be anything that we need to help proclaim the gospel. It could be scripture. It could be our own story of our lives. Whatever it is that thing in our lives which allows us to bear witness to who Christ is, to what God has done in our lives, and be able to tell others of it. The shield of faith. Think of how a shield would have been constructed back then. It would have had wooden parts, hearkening back to the tree of faith, that tree that constantly is watered, is constantly is growing, that bit by bit grows and grows and allows us to grow and protect us from the various assaults in our lives, be it assaults of a personal nature or assaults of terrible, life-changing, shattering items that occur in our lives. Faith is our rock. It is the rock we can duck behind or the rock we can hold onto as the floods of life come on us. Salvation is that beautiful gift freely given by God to us, calling us to follow, calling us to be. And then lastly comes the Word of God, and by no means is it really last. It is the sword which we carry. It's not just an offensive weapon to defend against oneself, but one that we can use against the sinfulness of the world, the sin that exists there. It's not just going to let sin buffet us on the head and beat us down, but allows us to strike back against it. All of these things, all of these pieces work together. All of them work hand in hand, bit by bit, like the perfect armor, the perfect machine, if you will, just working away. Back when I was younger, my family would travel to the Outer Banks to visit my aunt and uncle and vacation together. And everybody had their role in preparing. Mom would create the lists and make sure that every bag was packed the right way, making sure that the boys had enough dress shirts, had enough khaki pants or shorts, enough t-shirts and swimsuits, making sure the girls were all set to go, making sure everything was ready. My sisters were the ones who packed up all of the supplies in the kitchen and made sure they were in manageable boxes here and there, or that the cooler was packed. And then Rob and I were the ones who climbed up on the van with the escargot and loaded that with the beach supplies, loaded the bags in. Everybody had their job. Everybody knew what they were doing, and it worked together so well. But later came the difficulty, and it's the same difficulty as the armor of God. When one part isn't there in our lives, when Edie had school or had work and couldn't take the time off, somehow, some way, the slack had to get picked up. if the armor of God is missing righteousness, the other parts try and try and try and work the extra miles to go to get everything where it should be. If one piece is missing, you can will have everybody try and overfunction together. And the difficulty is that causes the other pieces and parts to work beyond where they should be. We must have all of these pieces working, being present, helping in our lives. All of these people, parts, are just as important as the next. Brothers and sisters, we have here a guidebook, a guide plan, if you will, for how we can navigate the various challenges and difficulties that come our way. And they will come. But if we put on the armor of God, or the beekeeper suit of God, or whatever you want to call it, that is an image you can wrestle with, put on the entirety of it. These are the tools which God has given us, blessed us with, to navigate life's many challenges and trials. Brothers and sisters, as we go forth, may we put on the armor of God. And I know it's kind of sticky, and thinking about putting on armor is not exactly a great image right now. But put on the armor of God as we go forth. May it be like the clothing you put on every day. May it be with you as you get up, as you go out, and as you come back in. Every day. Amen.